He served at the Pentagon as an Army JAG. He graduated from Notre Dame and has two law degrees from Boston University and Georgetown University. He's been practicing law for over 30 years. He's your family's personal attorney. It's time for the David Carrier Show.
Hello and welcome to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. You have found the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. So if you have a question, a comment, or concern about wills, trusts, or probate, if you're wondering how do we beat the high cost of long-term care, you know, all that nursing home stuff, but it isn't just nursing home stuff. It's also assisted living and at-home care as well. If you're wondering how do we do that? How do we make sure that the community spouse does not become impoverished? How do we make sure that your life savings do not disappear like a snowflake on a hot griddle? Well, give us a shout right now, 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843, and we'll get your question, comment, or concern on the air. We also deal with real estate and business law. And what does that mean? Well, it means if you're looking to buy or sell a home, if you're looking to start a business, stop a business, or just keep that hula hoop going, give us a shout right now, 888-463-2843. And in a flash of marketing brilliance, 888-463-2843, you can spell it out as 888-GO-DAVID on your telephone keypad. That's how that one works. Okie doke. One of the things that come up again, I get some questions during the week again on this whole Medicare versus Medicaid thing. Here's the way to approach it. Medicare is the Great Society senior health insurance program. Okay, got going. I think it was 64. I think it was Social Security Act 64 that started Medicare, and your premiums go up on that. There's no surprise, right? And in fact, the way the law is set up, the insurance premiums have to cover a certain portion of the cost. The rest can be paid out of the federal government, but the deal back then was maybe we should pay our bills. And so Medicare was really conceived of very different than Medicaid. Medicare was an insurance program. Okay, that's what it is. And when you've been on Social Security disability for 2 years, when you reach your retirement age, full retirement age for Social Security, now you're going to be able to qualify for the Medicare. Now, Medicare has got four parts of it, A, B, C, and D. We're not going to get into that right now today. Forget about that. But the key is that if you're older, then Medicare is probably your insurer of choice. Now, Medicare does not cover everything. Does not cover everything. And so we have Medicare supplement insurance. This is private insurance that you can buy. Okay, and if you buy it right when you retire, there's no pre-existing conditions, which apparently no pre-existing conditions anymore anyway. But that was a big deal. If you bought it right away, as soon as you were eligible, or within, I think it's 9 months, of being eligible for the Medicare, if you bought your supplement policy, it was a must-issue kind of thing. Are you with me on that? So Medicare is insurance. Medicaid is something very different. Medicaid is the way we make sure that people don't slip through the cracks. Now, Medicare does not cover long-term care. Does not cover long-term care. It's not nursing home insurance, okay? So if you think, I've got the Blue Cross Blue Shield for my supplement, I got this, that, and the other thing for my supplement, and Humana, or whatever the heck, ARP, or whatever, my supplement insurance, okay, that's good, you need that. But it's not long-term care insurance. There's a mistake people make about that, which we'll get into in just a minute. But remember, the fundamental difference between these two programs is that Medicare is basically your hospitalization, okay? Part A is hospitalization. So anyway, we've got Medicare, which is insurance. We've got Medicaid, which is something else entirely. I'm not going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about the Medicare. People wind up owing tens of thousands of dollars, okay? If you can very easily wind up owing tens of thousands, and it actually happens hundreds of thousands of times, but you can very easily wind up owing lots of, let me get very precise here. You can owe lots and lots of money if you don't deal with the Medicare eyes open. So you go to the hospital. You go to the hospital and you say, hey, I'm in the hospital. You know, the people bring me the food on the tray, right? The doctors come in. The nurses are very nice to me. I guess Medicare is going to cover it. Not so fast. Not so fast. The Medicare will not cover a hospital stay where you're in there for observation. How can you wind up in there for observation? Well, actually, it's pretty easy. It's very easy to wind up in the hospital for observation. For example, you have a broken pelvis, okay? They get you in there. They situate you, okay? Then you're transferred. Well, once you basically say there's not a lot they can do for a broken pelvis. It's pretty much, okay, we're going to look at you. We're going to make sure that things don't go south. Or you go in for myriad of problems, right? And they're like, well, you don't really know what's wrong. You know, yeah, there's something wrong here. Your heart's racing or this, that, the other. But we don't really know, and you seem a little bit better now. So rather than provide a diagnosis, rather than admit you to the hospital, okay, they'll let you come in for observation. For observation, under observation. If the word observation is in your admission papers, quote-unquote admission papers, okay, you know what that means? Whip out the American Express, Bubba, because you're paying. Or your checkbook, because we don't like to do things on credit. Okay? So when you go into the hospital, you have to make sure, this is the first thing, you have to make sure that you're being admitted to the hospital. And the words under observation, for observation, you know, observe, let's not use that verb. Okay, let's make sure. Now, this is very difficult to do, okay, because people don't go to the hospital like they go on a cruise ship, right? My dad right now, he's on a cruise ship. The Knights of Columbus, every year they do a cruise, and Dad's on his cruise ship, okay? He was looking forward to it. He's going to have fun. That's not why people go to the hospital. So when Dad goes on the cruise ship, you know, he makes sure, you know, who's he bunking with, who's his, you know, what's happening on the Lido deck, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, he knows what's going on. They even have it's the Knights of Columbus sponsors the thing. So they have like a pre-cruise orientation party sort of thing. So you know what to expect, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Well, the hospital isn't like that. If you break your pelvis, you're not going to go to the, we all broke our pelvises together, and let's go to the orientation, pre-hospital party. It doesn't work that way, okay? You know, you do the 911 thing, sirens blaring into the hospital, sign these papers, or, you know, we're taking you back home. So, I'll sign the papers. Of course you'll sign the papers. Everybody signs the papers. Are you with me on this? Okay. One of the papers that you sign is, are you admitted or not? You know, are you gonna paddle through those papers and really understand what's going on? My suggestion is, in life or death with the hospital, right, you're going to be less insistent on knowing what's going on than you are when you get on the cruise ship. If you go on the cruise ship, you want to, hey, is there lobster tonight? Do I get a seat at the captain's table? You know. What kind of shows are going to be on the boat? You know, I'm guessing all this. I've never been on a cruise, frankly. But anyway, you want to know what's going to happen. Okay, you want to plan ahead for that. Not the same way with the hospital. With the hospital, if they stick it in front of you, you sign the dang thing, right? If they tell you this, you say, okay, fine. You got to break out of that mold. You got to be a little bit more like a cruise customer when you go into the hospital. How exactly we do that, we'll talk about when we get back. You're listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, reminding you that we do these life plan workshops every single week. Think of it like a pre-cruise party. The workshop is sort of like a pre-cruise party. Find out how this stuff really works, what you can really do at a life plan. That's what it's like. 888-463-2843. Go to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com, or give us drop us an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com. All good ways to sign up for our life plan workshop. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney, reminding you that our free life plan. I really like this analogy. I like the idea to think about the life plan workshop. It's sort of that. It's like a pre-cruise meeting slash party. Of course, it's not a cruise. We're talking about long-term care, and we're talking about the other more important aspects of your life. But, you know, why the heck wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we, right, pay as much attention to those important things as we would to, you know, to the others? Why wouldn't we do that? And as a matter of fact, of course, people usually don't, but you should, I think. Anyway, that's the Life Plan Workshop. We do them every single week, the good Lord brings. And Muskegon, hey, we just did one in Holland. Love that. We'll be opening the office in Holland for you folks over there. And got another one coming up in Muskegon in the next couple of weeks. So if you're in Muskegon, if you're in Muskegon in the sound of my voice, you can call 888-463-2843 and sign up for the Life Plan Workshop. You'll be glad you did. And if you're not, well, just have another cookie and, you know, that'll make it all better. Okie doke. David at DavidCarrierLaw.com for the email, DavidCarrierLaw.com for the website, and 888-463-2843 if you have a question, comment, or concern you'd like to get on the air right now today. And, yes, the show is live. For all those people who are wondering, do you really get up that early in the morning? The answer is yes. Yes, I do. And so does the dedicated team around here to put the show together. Anyway, talking about the Medicare. So you go to the hospital, and you 911'd it, and things are terrible, which is, of course, why you dialed the 911, because you weren't about to bother them when it was not terrible. You know, I've fallen, can't get up, or what have you. And the problem is that folks will do that, and they'll go to the hospital, and there isn't much they can do for you. And as a result of that, the Medicare won't pay. Won't pay because you weren't admitted. And here's the deal. And it's not just the hospital. It's not just the what we call the acute care facility. It's not just the hospital. It's also the rehab. So you go from the hospital where you weren't admitted. You were in there for observation only. And then you go to rehab. And you figure, well, everybody says that Medicare gives you 100 days of the nursing home. Well, here's the real deal. If you spend 3 midnights in a hospital, acute care facility, admitted for treatment, you have to be admitted, okay? You have to be admitted. There has to be a diagnosis, okay? It has to be treated. We have a couple of standby diagnoses that we sort of recommend if you can't think of something else, right? Because they're almost always true. And but the point is, you got to be admitted. You must be under treatment at the acute care facility for 3 midnights. Now, I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. When my mom went into the hospital, 911 to Cape Cod Hospital, she was not admitted at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when she showed up. They left her hanging around on the gurney till 1 o'clock the next morning. Okay. My sister, older sister, who was fortunately on the ball, right, knew what the rules. She's an RN, teaches, you know, master of nursing, all the rest of the stuff, right? They don't call her mistress of nursing. It's, you know, her master of, you know, nursing science or whatever the heck it is, MSN. Anyway, she knew enough. She knew what the rules were and said, look, when they wanted to discharge mom 3 days later, she said, uh-uh. Yeah, we got here on Wednesday, right, in the afternoon. And we got Wednesday, Thursday, and today's Friday. But I'm not signing any discharge papers till tomorrow because, why? Because we didn't have 3 midnights. It's midnights that count, okay? So if you go in the middle of the afternoon, right, that day doesn't count. It's the midnights that count. And you may show up, but the key is when did they admit you, all right? And if you're taking a loved one to the nursing home, to the hospital, to the acute care facility, you got to be aware of this stuff. Because if you're not, it's not that they're doing anything, you know, they're not trying to do anything against you or anything else at the hospital. They're not trying to do that at all. They may not even be aware of it. Well, okay. But they're not writing the check either. if this stuff doesn't come through. So that's why you have to be on the ball. 3 midnights in the hospital. So you got the 3 midnights, right? Once we got the 3 midnights, now you can go to the rehab. Now, that's a whole nother deal with the rehab. But number one thing you got to remember, when you go to the acute care facility, be sure that you are admitted for treatment. There's a diagnosis. There's got to be a disease, an accident, something that they're admitting you for treatment, of which they are admitting you for treatment. Okay? It can't be observation. Because if it is, Medicare ain't paying. Okay. Now you go to the hospital. Excuse me. Now you go to the rehab. You go to the nursing home for rehab. You know, typical situation. So you got your 3 midnights in. Now we're not worried about it. Now we're not worried that, we're going to, not get paid because we're at the 3 midnights. Now we're eligible for Medicare. This is the insurance program, not Medicaid, Medicare at the rehab. But you got to be admitted for rehab. You have to have, and the Medicare definition, you got to be in there for skilled nursing care. Skilled nursing care. Well, it's a skilled nursing facility. I guess I'm getting skilled nursing care. Not so fast. Because there's one definition of skilled nursing care for Medicare and a different definition of skilled nursing care for Medicaid. How do you like them apples? So if you're in there for one thing, all right, the same words mean something different than if you're in there for the other. All right, it's different. We'll talk about that as we go through. But it's important to realize when you go to the skilled nursing facility for rehab, you have to be receiving treatment that will either get you better or maintain you at that level. And it has to be something that must be provided by a registered nurse. The Medicare test is, do we need a registered nurse, at least a registered nurse, to provide this level of care? Because if we don't need a registered nurse to provide this level of care, guess what? Medicare ain't paying. But I'm in a skilled nursing facility. There are nurses all around the place. Yeah, Medicare's not paying because they don't have to. The level of service that you're getting, the level of care that you're receiving, does not require a registered nurse. Okay? And because of that, we're not paying. Now, there's a whole other thing about whether you're progressing or not progressing. We'll talk about that when we get back. But remember, when you go to the skilled nursing facility, when you're in the hospital, can't be for observation. When you go to the skilled nursing facility for rehab, all right, either, you get your choice, either you have to be in there and getting better. You have to be there for a reason that requires a registered nurse. There's an old myth about, until last year, it was the law, or treated as the law anyway, about, well, are you progressing, are you not progressing? We'll talk about that when we get back. You've been listening to The David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Give us a call, why don't you? 888-GO-DAVID. Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. You have found the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, and business law. If you have a question, comment, or concern about wills, trusts, probate, long-term care, Medicare, Medicaid, any of those good things, if you want to know about cruise ships, I can't help you there, but I can help you with real estate and business law. So just give us a shout, why don't you, at 888-463-2843. That's 888-463-2843. 888-GO-DAVID. And we will get your question, comment, or concern on the air. Could it be easier? Well, I don't know. If you think email is easier, then email me at david@davidcarrierlaw.com. See, that's easy, too. Or, we only have one kind of oatmeal raisin cookie. That's it. You know, only one kind of cookie at the office. right? Don't confuse me with macadamia nuts, chocolate chips, or snickerdoodles. Uh-uh. Only one oatmeal raisin. But when it comes to communication, communication is different than cookies, even though they both begin with C-O, right? But communication is different than cookies. Only one kind of cookie, many, many different forms of communication, including call us, 888-GO-DAVID, email david@davidcarrierlaw.com, or just go to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com, and you'll see there's a place there for you just to, you know, send us a love letter if you'd like to do that. And, of course, you can always mail. Yeah, but nobody does that anymore. Hey, we've got Mark from Grand Rapids on the line. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to the David Carrier Show.
Hey, David. How are you?
Perking and working, man. Having a ball. What's up?
Well, I just started listening to your show. I work early on Sundays, so, you know, and I find it interesting. My parents are both recently retired, and so I'm kind of, it makes me think about, you know, what might be in the future for, you know, decisions for me.
Good. Well, that's the idea.
Right. And I really don't feel prepared, you know, with a lot of the things that you discuss. And it gives me some insight. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, you need an admitting diagnosis and three midnights and that, I mean, am I really in a position to, you know, make these demands? I mean, I guess it depends on, you know, situation by situation. But say, you know, my mom or dad, you know,
right.
Fell, like you
right.
said.
Well, you know something, Mark? I think you put your finger on something right there. There is no question that when you go into a hospital, when, you know, especially you're in the emergency room or whatever, right, there's a huge disparity. There's a huge imbalance in the power, in the relationship there. I mean, these are the people who are kind of holding open the golden door. Hey, your mom might get care versus, hey, they'll slam it in my face if I make myself into a pain for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely right. But, you know, I get it. And what, you know, and it's tough to say, hey, everybody's an expert advocate for their parents and what have you. But the fact of the matter is that if you have a couple of documents in place so that they can talk to you, right, the healthcare power of attorney, designation of patient advocate, that kind of thing, if the paperwork's in place, and you know what we do? We give everybody a little laminated card that says that they've named someone to be their healthcare representative, right? So your mom and dad would have a laminated card with your name on it. Now, that's not the legal document. It's not a legal document by itself, but it is something that says, hey, we did do this, okay? And here's where to get a copy, you know, to call our office and get a copy of it if they'd like to do that. And
okay.
So that's one way we can help out in the immediate. But you know, the thing is, hospitals aren't going to turn you away, right? And you do need to, you really do need to kind of advocate. You know, you need to, would you have kids, Mark?
One stepdaughter.
Okay. Well, if you think about it like going to school, right? Squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's the way it works. You know, if you're the one, if you're the parent who's badgering the teacher about, hey, I want this for my kid and that for my kid, well, you tend to make, you know, you tend to get more out of it. Okay? It's the same way, with practically everything else in life. And hospitals are no different. When you go, you want to make sure what's going. You want to make sure that you speak up, and if you don't, you're going to get rolled. I mean, that's reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. You know and I'll tell you what you might wish to do would be to come to one of the Life Plan workshops. Okay.
I live in Muskegon. I heard you say you're going to have one coming up.
Yeah.
What's the date on that?
You know, if you. I'm supposed to know that stuff, aren't I? But if you go to the website, you go to the website, and it's right on there. I think we're doing it the there's a sort of a theater room at the Holiday Inn over there. It's a arena seating, and it's worked out very well in the past. But there's no charge. Just drop me an email, david@davidcarrierlaw.com, or just go to the website, and you can sign up right there. But that's, you know, I got to tell you, it's a good way to get the conversation started, you know, get some information for yourself. Drag mom and dad along, you know, that's another way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. We've got Jim on the line also. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to the David Carrier Show.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have that situation going right now where the St. Mary's Hospital would not admit my father-in-law, who's 94 years old, and my wife and her sister had Gramp down there and begged him to admit him, you know, and they wouldn't do it.
What was the issue?
The issue was heart trouble, and he fell down a couple times, and they were trying to figure out what it was. Is there any way you can force them to admit him, you know, by saying the right thing or doing the right thing?
Three letters, UTI. Everybody's got, everybody over a certain age, everybody's got a UTI.
Okay.
And, you know, UTIs cause...
Because he's 94 years old. He doesn't have any money. They're not going to get paid.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Maybe $10 a month or something. I mean, this is all the income he's got is, well, you know, Social Security and a little. He's too old. He's used his money up.
Right.
So, I mean, if they would have admitted him, they would have at least got paid for the 3 or 4 days that he was there.
Yep. Here's one thing, too, Jim. And, yeah, if you want to consult offline, we can do that. But the thing is, the Medicare, Medicaid, you know, he's got no money. One of the things you want to jump on. See, here's the deal. Let's say he goes from the hospital to the to rehab. Okay, my advice would be...
That's what happened.
Okay. Then I would say don't let him out of rehab. Don't sign him out until he's on the Medicaid. Now, Medicaid has a thing called PME, pre-existing medical expenses. And if he's qualified, the 90 days before, we can take that little bit of income he's got and apply it to the back. But usually, you know, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars for a hospital stay. So, I mean, is that really going to make a dent or not? But
you know, we've got the priority health Medicare, but I'm just afraid that they're not going to get anything out of his pocket because he doesn't have anything. So
yeah, but you see the Medicare, the supplement that you're talking about, that only kicks in if he's admitted for the three midnights.
I know it.
They're not going to pay either.
So the nurse wouldn't do it. Why, or, you know, the people there at the hospital wouldn't admit him. Why wouldn't they want to admit him and get paid? You know, he was there for a diagnosis, trying to figure out what was wrong with him.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's not like you can take him to court, okay?
Yeah.
Well, until later on. I mean, and you can appeal. See, here's the other thing. Were you given notice of the appeal rights? They have to get, by the law, if they don't give you notice of your right to appeal and your right...
Yeah.
And inform you that it's not likely that Medicare will cover it, well, then either the hospital or Medicare does have to cover it. Okay, there's a whole...
We'll look for that then and see once if this just happened. So we'll find out if they're going to send an appeal when they don't get paid or whatever. They'll start to holler, I'm sure.
No, you have to appeal. You have to do the appeal. But all right, but there's a whole process there, and it's not that difficult, really. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
Very good. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for calling. You've been listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Welcome back to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. This is the place where we talk about estate planning, elder law, real estate, business law, whatever else we feel like talking about. And right now we've got Mike on the line. Good morning, Michael. Welcome to the David Carrier Show.
Hi. We were in a pony ring. My wife was driving the horse trailer. Guy rear-ended her.
Okay.
She has Medicare. But because it was an automobile accident, Medicare doesn't want to pay.
Okay. Well, what about the? It seems to me you got a couple ways here. She was pulling a horse trailer in your business. Is that right?
Yes.
And did you have workers' comp insurance in place?
No. No, it's a tiny business.
Yeah, but, no, it ain't the size of the fight in the dog. Dog in the fight or whatever the heck it is. Anyway, it doesn't matter that it's a small business. Okay. But, and how about the auto insurance?
Well, it's coordinated medical, which is a $500 deductible.
Mm-hmm.
She was just shook up, went to the emergency room, got checked out. So we've got, like, two bills there that are on total under $500.
Oh, okay.
So they don't want to pay, so they're putting, you know, copying out under deductible.
Right.
Well, I'm retired military, so I got TRICARE, but Medicare takes precedence over TRICARE.
Right. Yeah, but the Medicare's not, they're not going to pay anyway. I mean, if she was just shook up, right, they didn't diagnose anything. You know, shook up is not a diagnosis. I mean, maybe they had, what did they do? Just bring her in, take her blood pressure and, you know.
I think there was an x-ray because it was a radiology bill.
Right.
Right. You know, you're in a car accident. You want to get checked out and make sure you're okay.
For sure.
But my argument is I go through the Medicare handbook page by page, and there's nothing in there that says that medical accidents are have to be covered by, you know, vehicle insurance. Automobile accidents are not an uncommon accident. It seemed like they'd have a minimum statement that, you know, if you're in an automobile accident, you need to go to your automobile stuff.
Yeah, I don't think, I really don't think they're denying it. I don't think they're denying coverage based on it being an auto accident. Unless you got something that said we're denying because it's an auto accident, I think they're denying it because, you know, there's no treatment. You know what I mean? I mean, she wasn't admitted.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly the problem that we're talking about here. It's like you go to the hospital, they bring you in, they take the x-rays, you know, you think you're being treated, quote unquote, but you're not. They're just evaluating you, and if they decide based on the evaluation that they're not going to admit you, well, now you're on your own. I mean, thanks for taking my money.
Yeah.
You know, my Medicare premiums, it is insurance. But, you know, insurance is governed by the terms, always, terms of the policy. And that's the, you know, Mike, that's the problem. Michael, that's a problem that you've got, seems to me. I mean, you know, if you said, well, she went in there for a broken arm, say, yeah, here's how it would work. She goes, she breaks her arm, right? So now she goes in, she's treated, blah, blah, blah. Medicare would pay for that. But later on, when you apply, now they'd want to coordinate, you know about that. You know, they'd want to coordinate with the auto insurance. Okay? And if, you know, one of the things you always see with these, you know, when we're reviewing, we don't do personal injury, but, you know, we'll review those things. You know, one of the things that always has to, you know, people get the big award and they think, oh boy, I'm, you know, this is wonderful. Yeah, except that we've got to pay Medicare back out. You know, we've got to pay them out of the award. And that's always a kind of a disappointment for folks when they see, oh, now I've got to reimburse these guys. But generally, the Medicare will step up. So, you know, in an auto accident, it's not, there's no exclusion for that. It's not like, oh, we'll take care of you unless, you know, the vase fell on your head, unless you slipped on your sidewalk, unless you were in a car accident. That's not the deal. The reason I believe, you know, based, you know, that's, that's why we call this a lively legal discussion, and not legal advice, because I would bet you if you went through the paperwork, you know, you would see that she was not admitted, you know, and that there was no diagnosis. You know, being in a car accident and getting checked out, well, that's all good. But Medicare isn't going to, you know, that's not an acute care situation because you didn't need the care at the end of the day. You know, and here's the other thing, too. You know, I assume there were ambulances and all the rest of that, right?
Not for her.
No.
The other driver had to have an ambulance. Well, in our case, they destroyed the horse trailer. We had to put down three horses out of the deal.
Yeah.
Her vehicle was smashed up. You know, we lost the booking for that pony ring. And then had to replace all the stuff that was wrecked. I mean, in total, we probably lost $10,000 to $15,000.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, and of course, since she wasn't in, you know, personally injured, you know, severely injured, the medical lawyers don't want to jump on that, which means we'd have to front a lawyer up front.
Right.
You know, if we wanted to go after him.
Right. Right. And well, and they'll tell you if unless I think the test is you have to have a material impairment of a substantial bodily function, or maybe it's a substantial impairment of a material bodily function. The idea is you really have to be wrecked up before you can sue somebody under the no fault. You know, the way Michigan has the no fault insurance, I mean, you have to be in serious difficulties before you can get out of that system, get into the, you know, I'm going to sue you for damage. And, you know, if Medicare won't even pay because the injuries weren't any, you know, getting shook up. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. When you did the ambulance people examine your wife at all? You know, at the scene?
I don't know. I think they were concentrating on the other guy. I'd have to ask her again.
Okay. Yeah, I was just gonna say, one of the things that you have to be on your guard against is the ambulance people will generally have you sign a release. Maybe your wife signed this, maybe she didn't. But if you read the release that they want you to sign, you know, where they say, oh, you're fine, go home, right? Well, the release, the piece of paper that they want you to sign says, we advise you to go to the hospital. You know, we think you're about to die, and you decided not to. And that's the release, you know, words to that effect. That's the release they want you to sign. So you read the release and you're thinking, holy Toledo, I better get to the ER from here.
Yep.
You know, and so people do go to the ER, and you didn't really need to go. It's just their way of, you know, CYA, the ambulance people, in case something goes wrong later on. And so you get a lot of folks, you know, whenever you're in a car accident, obviously you want to go get that reassurance that everything's A-okay. But, you know, that's one of those overutilizations of the medical system sometimes where you don't really need to, but, you know, you just want to get everything checked out. And that costs you. Medicare's not going to pay for that. Okie doke.
Okay. Now, one other question.
Sure.
She still has mental issues about that. Is that something that could be pursued? I mean, somebody pulls up kind of close behind her, and she's, you know, not quite freaking, but getting close.
Right. Probably
so,
not.
I mean, there's still after effects.
Probably not. That's going to be a see, if you had the workers' comp, right? You know, if you had done that, then you could say, well, I can't do my job anymore. You know, you could have gotten a disability claim under the workers' comp, okay? Because there's no question that driving the horses around in pursuit of the business, that would have, seems to me anyway, that would have been covered by the workers' comp, you know, which is sort of a disability kind of thing. That might have covered it. But if the auto attorneys that you've talked to, you know, the car accident guys, are telling you you don't have a case, you can be pretty sure you don't have a case. Thank you for listening to the David Carrier Show. I'm David Carrier, your family's personal attorney. Looking forward to seeing you at one of our Life Plan workshops. Just get on over to the website, davidcarrierlaw.com. Sign up. We want to see you in Muskegon.
You've been listening to The David Carrier Show, a lively discussion addressing your questions and concerns, but not legal advice. There is a big difference. So when making decisions that affect your family, your property, or yourself, the best advice is to seek good advice, specific to your unique needs. If you missed any of today's show or would like additional information about the law offices of David Carrier, please visit davidcarrierlaw.com.